Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Gift giving is tough, let's face it. But everybody knows someone who's particularly good at it. Someone who either knows exactly what you need, even though you couldn't think of it yourself, and gets that for you. Or someone who makes gifts that are particularly heartfelt, or comes up with an idea that is particularly meaningful at this time of the year.
I'm going to be using a charitable foundation to buy ducks, chickens, goats, milking goats, and irrigation pumps for people in Ethiopia and other third world countries in the names of my family members.
Tell us your creative shopping list for 2008 at 8778MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
We came across some numbers we found fascinating. Consider this. So far this year, 1.1 million men have lost their jobs, but 12,000 more women are working this year than last year. It's a striking fact in the midst of this recession. And for a look at why, we're joined now by Pamela Tolbert. She is the chair of the Department of Organizational Behavior at Cornell University School for Industrial Labor Relations. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
How would you explain this discrepancy?
Well, I think there's a certain irony in here, because my diagnosis is that a lot of it has to do with the existence of occupational segregation, which has been around for a long time. So women have historically and today been clustered in a relatively small set of occupations, relatively low paying, but as it turns out, probably relatively more recession-proof than the higher-paying occupations that men have been in for a long time.
For example, healthcare.
Healthcare is one of them. There are nursing, teaching. These are occupations that people don't cut back much, even when times are tough. There's less discretionary spending. You know, if you need medical care, you need medical care. So it's not the same as making a decision to buy a new automobile or a new plasma TV or what have you.
And just in terms of that irony you spoke of, there have been enormous job losses in manufacturing, construction, and investment services. Many high-paying jobs have been lost, and many of those industries dominated by men.
Right, precisely. And even in industries like retailing, where you've seen some cutback, typically the men are concentrated in the higher-end segments, like selling cars or selling, you know, washer dryers, which pay more and get commissions, and those are the places where people aren't buying as much. So women are in sort of, you know, selling clothes, things like that, and so they're more likely to keep their jobs. Those jobs are more likely to stick around.
Now, you've done a lot of research on dual-income families. How is this development affecting families?
Well, there's been, since the 1970s, a major shift in family structure, economic structure in the U.S. So back in the early 1970s, about half of all families were in single-earner households, were single-earner households. And by 2000, 70% of all families were dual-earners, so both members of the family worked. I think this is likely to fuel that trend. It's also likely to fuel, within dual-earner families, there's been a shift away from the man being the primary earner towards one in which you have equal-earner members. And I would guess that one of the consequences of this was that it's going to push that trend along even further towards equal-earner families.
I would suspect that the challenge here is figuring out what in these statistics is cyclical in the business cycle, because a lot of recessions are analyzed in terms of, well, things go up, things go down. But it also seems, in looking at these numbers, that there are some deep structural forces at work, things that are not likely to change even if the economy does come back. How do you separate those out?
Well, it depends on the cycle, I suppose, that you're talking about. But certainly since the 1970s, the industries that you were talking about, manufacturing, construction, those have been much more, much less of a growth area than the service sector and other industries. So, yeah, you know, it's possible 50 years from now things may be very different, but at least...
But I guess the question is, do women have more of a chance maybe to get some of those management jobs if they come back, given that so many of the high-paying jobs are dominated by male workers who have now lost them? If things do come back, does that sort of create a new parity at the top sector of the economy?
Well, I think it's possible. You know, women, in terms of education, what have you, have been catching up to men for a long time. And with the changes that are happening in the economy, I think that may lead to changes in family roles, ultimately increasingly more acceptance of women working. And in the long run, that could also create more opportunities for women in higher level, higher paying jobs.
What are you going to be watching for in the next weeks and months as this recession continues?
You mean in terms of job loss?
Like, what particularly are you going to be paying attention to in terms of numbers, in terms of statistics, in terms of various industries that continue to struggle? Are there particular markers that you are going to be watching closely?
Well, my time frame is less over the next few weeks and more over the next few years. So I think what would be interesting to study is whether, in fact, this does have an effect on declining gender segregation, occupational gender segregation, whether you see, for example, men shifting into what have traditionally been female-dominated jobs. You know, we always thought that gender desegregation would occur when women moved into male-dominated jobs. It may occur, but in a different direction than we thought.
Thank you very much. Pamela Talbert is the chair of the Department of Organizational Behavior at Cornell University School for Industrial Labor Relations.
My pleasure.
And now we turn to Femi Okeh with some headlines.
Thank you. The time is 21 minutes to the top of the hour.